This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdal. The thing about China, and sure, all places change over time. That is normal. But the thing about China is how much it has changed and how fast it has done so. Sanlitun, my old neighborhood, where Jennifer and I wound up last Friday, used to be old apartment buildings and vegetable stands and hole-in-the-wall bars catering to expat Westerners. Now, there's an Apple store, Chanel and Dior shops, and high-end restaurants. And should you be in need as you fight your jet lag, a coffee stand. Apologies, by the way, for the guys cutting slabs of new sidewalk that you're going to hear in the background.
So let's take a look at the price of coffee here. Okay, so usually I get a cappuccino. Okay, they don't have one, but a latte. You see, a hot one is 35
quid. For a small,
that's like $5. Do you know prices all went up when Starbucks raised their prices? Whole country, because Starbucks set the coffee culture.
Right. Why wait?
And they thought, yeah, we can charge $5.
I'm going to get a cup of coffee.
Anyway, let's go get a cup of coffee.
Okay. Hey, how?
Hey,
how? Latte, huh?
Latte.
Hmm? 2杯.
2杯.
2杯. 2杯. 2杯. 2杯. 2杯. 2杯. 2杯. Can't have a cold latte. No cold latte. 不要冷的 latte. 不行.
Hmm?
Actual money as opposed to paying on WeChat.
Well, you're very lucky.
I know. I had this whole conversation with the concierge last night about finding a restaurant that would take credit cards, and he called this place, and she was like,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? That Guowai and Guanay there is the restaurant lady telling the concierge, yeah, she would take domestic credit cards, not credit cards from foreign banks, though.
The credit card penetration is very low.
But if I put my credit card in WeChat and paid with WeChat, that would that be all right?
Yeah, of course, because the guarantor is WeChat.
Yeah.
What they worry about is the fees, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because, the banks charge very high fees for credit cards.
Sorry, I'm just looking at what bank my credit card is from. Chase, right?
Well, let's see how far you get with your cash.
So Chase Pusheng. Yeah, I don't know. It's wild, actually.
是不是很少人有现金啊现在?
So that was Jen asking the barista how many people use cash, and him saying, yeah, they kind of do.
So yes, they also have people paying in cash. I'm not the only stupid foreigner. That's what that was. That's what that exchange was.
So with coffee in hand, paid for in cash, a walk and talk with Jennifer Peck about China then and now. Straight ahead. We went to Beijing last week because, yes, sure, Janet Yellen was going, and to some degree, you got to cover the macro, the big picture economic relationship, even as you try to explain the micro, what is happening on the ground. But mostly we went because the relationship between our two economies is going to be the story of our economic future. Jennifer Pack has been in Shanghai for Marketplace for 6 years, maybe a little bit longer. Before that, though, she was in Beijing, living not far from Sanlitun, my old neighborhood, watching, as the rest of us were, as China changed. There is now a generation of people between the time you and I were here and who are now like 18 years old, right? And they've now grown up expecting this. They're used to the high end. They're used to disposable income. And that's just not the way it used to be.
No. Yeah. Well, so that's the thing. That's the funny thing is, even back when I was here, I would interview people who are the first generation who went to university.
Yeah.
That's still a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they would say, you know, when I was growing up, it was very poor. But now the older I get, the more money I have, the more I want. And they feel actually kind of a lot of pressure. And there's this sort of yearning. So every time there's some sort of cyclical downturn in the economy, you hear a lot of, especially people who have been living in the megacities for a while, they want to acquire a piece of land in the countryside or turn it into a Airbnb. And it's a thing. It's a sort of a romanticization of, you know.
Well, look, it's aspirational capitalism, right?
Is that what it's called?
It kind of is.
Okay, we got to figure out.
Keeping up with the Joneses?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know, that's kind of what it is.
That's huge. Keeping up with the Joneses.
Say more about that.
So especially in the countryside, we hear a lot of people, they call it panbi. So they just kind of, try to one-up each other. People here talk like they speak for 1.4 billion people. So they'll say, oh, everybody does this. And so there's this sort of pressure, especially for young people. When we interview them, ahead of the Lunar New Year, which is the time to go home. A lot of them say, you know what, I kind of don't really want to go home. I'm expected to pay for everything just because I work in the city. When I go back, he has to take all his classmates out for dinner. Everyone turns to him when the bill arrives, like, wow. Well, you're yeah. the, I'm just going to recycle
yeah, yeah.
this.
Yeah. So it must be incredible to you that, what, 8 months ago now, you were in the middle of still lockdowns and zero COVID, and now it's normal? Kind of?
Yeah, I think we're on the way to normal, as in people just are so sick of it. They don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
No tabulation about the death toll, but, you know, you still hear right. and see ambulances here and now and again.
Yeah.
But everybody really just wants to get to work. And that's what we heard during the pandemic. They're like, look, I'm not looking for a handout. I don't care what policies. I just want to get back to work.
Right.
Right. That is a big thing. And I mean, the economy slowed down and it's noticeable for a lot of people because...
Is it, you think people can feel the slowdown?
Absolutely. In terms of, yeah, they're getting back to normal, but it's not like they're going to spend as they used to.
Right.
People are paying down their debts because they're really worried. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty, and part of that really stems from this idea that if a megacity like Shanghai, and even Beijing was somewhat pretty much like a fortress, it was very difficult to get in here. You almost had to apply for a new passport to get in here. If that can happen to a megacity in a moment's notice, you know, then anything's possible.
What's the general perception of the United States, of the American economy, of how things are working? Or do people not think about it? And they're just trying to pay the rent.
I say most people are trying to pay the rent, but they obviously have a lot of intuition about what's happening. They know that the U.S. and China are going through a phase, shall we say.
Shall we say, yes.
And I would say that the narrative, especially pushed out by the Chinese government media, is that America's on the decline and China's on the rise. Now, this is very much before 2022, okay? Remember, when you guys were all locked down and the rest of the world, factories were pumping things out.
Yeah.
I was living semi-normal life, as in if I didn't leave the city boundary, I was fine. So there was that illusion, but since 2022 and the lockdowns, I would say that people are a lot less optimistic, but I'm not sure necessarily relative to the U.S. I think they still think the trajectory is we're going to go up at some point. And that's sort of how they view all of the actions from whether it's the Trump administration or the Biden administration, is that, you know, it's because they are on, America's on the decline, and therefore that's why all of these actions are to suppress us, to contain and suppress us. That's the term that the Chinese officials use.